Thank you very much. We're continuing with volume 34, 4, 8, 1937, and this is the second paragraph. The first rights to have the kingdom of my divine will possessed by the human generations were given by Adam during the first period of his life. So this, what the divine will is, it's to go back to where Adam was before the fall. And Jesus said that Adam fell from such a height that it was a miracle that he survived. So even our bodies, these bodies are now food for worms, where before it was a glorious body that could not die, that cannot die. This is the body that Jesus has, our Savior and King, as at the Ascension. This is Our Lady's body, the glorious body of Our Lady at the Assumption. So the first rights to have the kingdom by divine will were possessed by Adam. The first period of his life were acts done in the divine will. And even though Adam sinned and lost the voluntary and operating life of the divine will within himself, and he is in us, however, his acts remained. Okay, so this gift that God gave to Adam, everything that he did in the divine will is eternal. Okay, it'll last forever. Every "I love you" that Adam said in creation, lives on infinitely, because it's a divine "I love you" of God in Adam, image and likeness. So our prayers now from the saints, we're pleading with God, we're begging God, we pray, and they're short term. With what Jesus is saying, I want you to begin to pray the way I prayed, the way my mother prayed, the new Adam and the new Eve. So this new and divine way of holiness that's coming to us is what Adam had before the fall. So this is not new. It's the oldest thing. But because Adam threw God out, obeyed Lucifer, basically, rather than God, he couldn't stay in paradise. So for the last 6,000 years, we've been under the thumb of the evil one. But what's really great is John Paul II kept on telling us, get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. This new and divine way of holiness is ours. You know, this, where we are is that we're in the third millennium. We are in overtime, if you want to say. You know, the Lord gave the devil what he wanted through the vision of Pope Leo XIII. Give me 100 years to destroy your church. God gave him 100 years. And that was in 1884. 33 years later was the miracle of the sun. And that's when he realized he's got to do something because he's only got 100 years. He saw this miracle that Our Lady allowed to happen through her prayer to get us to understand the life that we're living. It's not just a human life, but we're called to live heaven on earth. And so the devil at that point, you know, started the Russian Revolution. It ended 100 years later, 2017. Now, we have to understand this. What is happening? What did Our Lady say to Father Gobi? She says, everything's completed. She said that in 1997. What is Our Lady saying all over the world? Get ready for the return of my son. You have to understand, this is not normal, what's happening. Two popes, two presidents, you know, I mean, come on. You know what I mean? So what has God done? What has God done? He's given us the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, to get through what we're going to go through, where it's going to be very bumpy. It's going to be very difficult. And what the Lord has given us, he's given us the book of heaven. So this is what Jesus says. He says, Adam lost the operating life that was within him. And he, in us, he lost all that. However, his acts remain, because what is done in our divine will never gets out, never leaves. Those are our gains, the God's gains, our victories over the human will. Therefore, they are our own, and we are never put out. We never put out what is ours. It's never cast out. So the one who enters into the divine will, now he's talking to us, finds the first love of Adam, finds his first acts, gives the soul the right to possess our fiat and to repeat those same acts that Adam did. In fact, Adam's acts are still speaking. His love is still fused within our love and loves us incessantly with our own divine love. Therefore, the operating in our divine will becomes eternal with us, Jesus says, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is not subject to ending, and it places itself at everyone's disposal in such a way that only one who is ungrateful does not take it, does not want to avail himself to this divine life in order to receive this divine life. See, this is how we were created to be in God's image and likeness. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. We say Adam, and we diminish what came out of the dust, Adam. No, the image and likeness of God. And see, this is what Jesus wants to do with us. He's seen what the saints have done for the last 2,000 years, doing the will of God. And now he says, I want more for my children. Why? The kingdom's coming. He has to get us ready for this kingdom. The kingdom of the evil one is going to be gone. What did Our Lady say to Bruno in 1947? Time has now come to an end. Not the end of the world, but the end of the reign of Lucifer. What is happening? We have to be awake to see what's going on. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. Why? The kingdom is ours. Those that complain are not living in the divine will. Those that are negative are not living in the divine will. Those that are afraid are not living in the divine will. Jesus says that. If you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, you are anticipating hell. If you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, Jesus says, you are anticipating heaven. So we look at our conversations. Are we condemning anybody? You're not in the divine will. Are you angry with anybody? You're not in the divine will. Oh, yes, I am. Oh, no. Oh, no, you're not. This is the true life of Jesus and Mary. It's not a saintly life. It's not a good life. It's not a holy life. That's just the foundation. Jesus is getting us ready to live in the divine will. This is what he wants. So he says, the rights to possess my divine will as life were given by the Queen of Heaven, because she too was of human offspring, but in a more extensive way, with greater sacrifice, because it cost her her life, the life of her very son and God. To give the possession of the kingdom of divine, of our divine fiat back to the human generations, because it cost her so much. She is the one who longs for and prays for the most that her children may enter back into the kingdom that is so holy. See, we have to begin to live the life of Jesus and Mary. We've learned how to live the lives of the saints. We dress like Francis. We look like Francis. We act like Francis. We follow Francis's rules. And St. Francis. You know, this is what we want St. Benedict. We look at St. Benedict. We follow St. Benedict. We want St. Dominic. We follow St. Jesus says, I want more for you. I want you to follow my life. I want you to follow my mother's life. This is what they gave to Louisa. This is why Louisa is so amazing. Then came my descent from heaven to earth. And as I took on human flesh, each act of mine, each pain, prayer, tear, sigh, work, step, constituted, formed, and appointed a right to let the kingdom of the fiat be possessed again by the human generations. He's offering this to us. And he says, I can say that my holy humanity is yours and belongs to everyone. And whoever wants to enter into this kingdom shall find it in, you shall find in it the door, the way, and the rights, and the royal garment in order to get in. Adam was naked because he had lost his divine nobility. He lost the clothing of heaven. He lost the clothing of the divine will. Jesus says, I want to reclothe you in divinity. We're not talking about good and holy and saintly. I mean, that's for the last 2,000 years on the saints. He's asking us to share in his divinity. This is what the priest puts the drop of water in the chalice every day. May we share in the divinity of Christ. This is the greatest time to be alive. This is the greatest time. We want to be, want to receive the royal garment, the wedding garment. So my holy humanity is the garment that must cover and clothe with decency all those souls who shall possess the divine will. See, he says that to Luisa. Luisa, I want you to be my skin. I want to gaze in your gaze, and I want to speak in your speaking. I want to listen in your listening. That's why if you're criticizing anybody, Jesus isn't there, and you're not in the divine will. If you're worried about anything, Jesus isn't there. He said that to the apostles. Stop worrying. Does worry add one moment to your life? Then a command from Jesus, stop it. It does not help. See, now he's saying, I want more for you. So he's teaching us this life of Our Lady. He's teaching us this life of our Lord that was given to Luisa. This is the thing that's so astonishing. So he says basically, my love is so great that I call humanity with such great importance that affects all future events with amazing graces, with the sacrifice of their lives. Okay, what are you going to sacrifice? Let's just think of Lent. Lent's coming. What are you planning for Lent? What's your sacrifice? Jesus says this, I want you to sacrifice worry. I want you to starve to death that demon worry in your life. Stop feeding it with worry. That's how you're keeping it alive. Stop worrying. Stop fear being fearful. Stop complaining. Stop these feeding these demons within you. I mean, it's really clear. I'm worried. I'm fearful, anxious. I'm complaining. I'm negative. Why? Because Jesus isn't there. Oh, I'm living in the divine will. No, you're not. Living in the divine will is peaceful, joyful, and happy. Yes, there's going to be trouble. What are you going to do? Are you going to bite your nails? Or are you going to say, Jesus, I trust in you? He said that to St. Faustina, the final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. That's why John Paul II did what he did. He's given us divine mercy for the last 24 years. This is a glorious time. This is a glorious time. And if we're worried, you're not praying the divine mercy chaplet. If you're fearful, you're not praying the divine mercy chaplet. Jesus, I trust in you. You're complaining about somebody? That's the devil. Look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. No, what are you doing? When you go to confession, I've had people say, well, they're doing this and they're doing, who cares? What are you doing? Do you want your, the unconfessed sin is the unforgiven sin. What are you doing? How are you living? Where is your heart? Where is your mind? What are you saying? What are you thinking? What are you doing? That's what you confess. And if you're honest with yourself, you'd be in the really in the confessional for a long time. It's every, see, the illumination of conscience, you're going to see every single thought that you ever had is going to be revealed to you. Every single word that you said is going to be revealed to you. Every single act that you did is going to be revealed to you. In front of God. And you think that's going to be easy? It's going to be very tough. It's going to be very, very tough. So God is asking us, get ready for this. He's asking us to get ready to face him with our life. Because one sin goes through the whole universe. It's like throwing a stone into a pond. It affects everyone. In the divine will, it's the same way. Everything that you do in the divine will affects everyone. It affects your family. It affects your nation. It affects the universe. So what God is asking of us is, get ready for what I'm going to do. So he says, sacrifice your life. What is that? No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more doubts, to the point of no more sin. That's what it's about. Sacrifice. Oh, what about this? Well, I got to worry about that. No, you don't. Jesus is in charge. Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? He's your Master. Is he your King? Go to him. He'll explain everything to you. And what he'll say is, don't worry. I'll take care of this. It's very, very clear. So he says, all future events are going to be faced with amazing graces and with sacrifice of their lives. And I, Jesus, let them live in my divine will. And that they constitute the new rites of laying down their lives, the misery, in order to give the possession of my kingdom back to the human family. Therefore, let your human will run always in my divine will, so that once your acts are complete, you may take flight to the celestial fatherland. Again, as you begin to pray your rounds, as you begin to do your acts in the divine will, one with Jesus, one with Mary, everything becomes peace, joy, and happiness. This is why we were created, to be one with God in God's image and likeness. So in Vine 34, 6, 6, 19, 37, I, God, shall let the entire world know that I want what I want, that the people of my divine will, as long as they give me their names and make known to me what they want to come into my kingdom, I, God, shall give them all the goods. This is a promise from Jesus. I shall let the entire world know. We haven't seen anything yet. When God intervenes, and he's going to intervene, we have to make this connection with Jesus. We have to talk to him. We have to fall in love with him. We have to listen to him. He's going to guide us, lead us, direct us. He's not going to abandon us. And the more we go to him, the happier he is, the happier we are. He says, the little lambs that come near him, I can feed them, I can hold them, I can take care of them. The lambs that run away from me, I can't do anything. They're on their own. And the wolves are out there that will rip them apart. The closer we get to Jesus, the sacraments, the sacramentals, the Holy Eucharist, confession, the more we make that part of our Catholic life, the happier we become. And I will give them all the goods, he says. It is unhappinesses that shall have no place. Each one shall possess his kingdom. Each one shall be a king of himself, and all shall live together with their creator. And I shall make such great display in giving all that shall remain captivated according to this new way of living. It's really not new. It's the way Adam lived. It's the way Jesus lived. It's the way Mary lived. My daughter, oh, how I, God, long for this living of humanity back in my holy divine will. And you pray and long for it together with me. That the book, just the long for it, just came out this past week. It's going to be, God wants you to be the Essenes of today. The Essenes of yesterday longed for the Messiah. We're going to long for the kingdom. We're going to have a passion for the kingdom. We're going to have a fervor, a zeal for praying for the kingdom. That's our job. So Jesus needs us to listen. And he says this, and may it be sweet for you to lay down your life for a kingdom so holy. Lay down your miserable human will. Don't let it be alive anymore. Let be free of worry, free of fear, free of anxiety, free of complaining, free of negativity. Again, learn to talk with no negative. Be positive in everything that you think, say, and do. That was Jesus. That was Mary. Be positive in everything. Don't use any negative in your conversations anymore. And if it comes up, just be silent. I'm not going to get involved in this. See, you have to discipline yourself. You have to discipline yourself to listen to what Jesus is telling Louisa and then begin to live it. Vine 34, 725, 1937. An act in my fiat can be a celestial atmosphere that encloses with itself all of God's divine works. And the very creation with the strength of God's works, the storms of our divinity, and imposes on itself, on us, to make us give graces and gifts such as to render the creature capable of receiving the kingdom of our divine will. An act in our divine will can contain such wonders that the creature is incapable of comprehending all of its value, and that's heaven. For heaven, we're going to be, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, we're going to be in the awe of God. He's so beautiful. He's so holy. He's so perfect. He's so loving. We're just going to be for all eternity. You are so beautiful. He can't reveal himself to us. If he does, we would be dissolved in love. He's so much in love with us. And all he's asking of us is to come to him. And then it says, Jesus became silent. Okay, what does that mean? He wants us to meditate on what he just told us. He wants us to contemplate on these words that he gave to Louisa. So when you hear this thing, when you're reading, Jesus was silent, it's a time just to say, okay, Lord, tell me what you want me to think of. And go back and reread what he just said to you. And Louisa says, I remained soaked within this ocean of love. I don't know how, but I felt myself being transported into the celestial fatherland in the midst of the three circles of light at the top, in which there was the Queen of Heaven on one side, our Lord on the other side, with an enchanting beauty, with unspeakable love. And in between these was the multitude of souls. And that's us. She's showing us where we are in the divine will, all transformed into the light in which they lived and grew, but kept being directed and nourished by Jesus and his celestial mother. How many beautiful surprises could be seen? These souls possessed the likeness and the life of their creator. Image and likeness. It's not about being good and holy and saintly. That was for the last 2,000 years. It's to be what the priest says every day of Holy Mass, may we share in the divinity of Christ. Not to become gods, but to participate in the image and likeness of God. As much as we want, or as little as we want. 36 to 100 fold, Jesus says. And my sweet Jesus told his mother, and his mother told me, these circles of light that you see, Louisa, are the symbols of the sacrosanct Trinity, and the souls are those souls who shall form the kingdom of the divine will. That's us. It's not about being human. It's about being the perfect human, Jesus, and the perfect human, Mary. A new and divine way of holiness. Adam failed because Jesus said he didn't have me as his Adam and Mary as his Eve. You, he says, have me as your Adam and Mary as your Eve, and you can't lose. You can't lose. He says, the rulers of this kingdom shall be us, that's Jesus and Mary, the mother and the son, who shall keep it with jealousy. See, we're going to be shown how to live this by Jesus himself, by Mary. It's not a religious life of the saints. It's not a holy religious life. It's a divine life of Jesus and Mary. God said he's waited 6,000 years to give this back to the humanity. As Adam lost this, it took 6,000 years, 4,000 years before Jesus returned. And the Essenes were begging for the Messiah, searching for the Messiah, longing for the Messiah. And Andrew ran to Peter. We found the Messiah. Philip ran to Nathaniel. We found the one from Nazareth. He goes, what good is coming from Nazareth? Why did he say that? The Messiah comes from Bethlehem. You see, everyone was waiting, or the Essenes were waiting for the Messiah. What are we waiting for? Jesus says to Louisa, you're the one that basically, you're the one that's going to bring about the fulfillment of our Father. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. with you and with your children. Hopefully that's us. We want the divine will to reign on earth as it is in heaven. We want this Catholic life that Adam lost, which Jesus and Mary brought to earth. And now this fullness that we have, God says to us through Louisa, I want more for you. This is a great time to be alive. It's an amazing time to be alive. So he says, see then the certainty of this kingdom. It is already formed, because in God, things as though are already done. As soon as God says something, it's done. That's how I used to do my work in college. As soon as I thought of it, it was done. It, really, if you can think of it, you can do it. I mean, it was really, I was in this one course, conceptual. It was a conceptual course. And we had, it was very funny, but it was a great course, because, I mean, if you can think of it, see what God says. If God thinks of it, it's already done. So with us, what did St. Thomas Aquinas say? He said, if the veil was lifted, if we could see where we actually were, we are around the throne of God, praising God, enjoying the beatific vision. That's where we really are. Right now, we're trapped in time and space. So why are we miserable? I mean, if we really understand this is what God wants, and Thomas Aquinas has already said, that's where we really are, we should be joy-filled. No worries, no complaints, no negativities. I mean, it's really, so he says, this is what Jesus says. Pray that what is there in heaven may be realized on earth. He says, the access of our love, the access of our love without anybody praying us or deserving it, we made the creation. Without anybody wanting it, nobody deserving it. Then we made a gift of the creation for Adam. In another access, we created the Virgin Mary and to donate her as a gift to humanity. In another access, I, Jesus, the eternal word, descended from heaven in order to donate myself and to give myself this week, pray to mankind. In another great access of love, I shall give, this is what it is, I shall give them the grace of the kingdom of my divine will. He's planned this. He's going to give this to us. And Jesus said, see, when time stops, and when time comes to an end, and it's going to, because we're trapped in it at this point, when that happens, you, wherever you are, that's as much as you can get, because your work has to be here on earth, not after time stops. Then when we enter eternity, then it can continue on for all eternity. But what we're looking for is you want the best for your children. You want the best for your grandchildren. That's God. Pray your rounds of creation. Pray your rounds of redemption. Make these prayers your life. Do your acts in the divine will. In the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future. You want the best for your children? It's heaven. Most people are on the edge of the abyss right now. And Jesus is asking us, would you stand in the breach for them and to bring them to heaven? And our response should be, yes, Lord, whatever you want. What do you need me to do? And Jesus says, stop worrying. Stop being afraid. Stop being anxious. Stop complaining. Stop being negative. Begin to live my life and my mother's life. Begin. Jesus says this. He says very, very clearly, the celestial virgin, heiress of this kingdom, shall call humanity as her children, and that they may receive the great gift of her great divine inheritance. That's volume 20 through volume 36. See, everything is being placed right in front of us. And God is saying, what do you want? Do you want the earth? You want the way of the world? It's going to go up in flames. The kingdom is coming. What's the fire? It's the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that's going to consume the world in love. What do you want? You want the things of earth? It's all going to go. You want the things of heaven? It's eternal. This is where we belong. We got to get things in proper order. Be a faithful and obedient Catholic. Adam was unfaithful. Adam was disobedient. That's why it's so important to be faithful and obedient. God is in charge. And all he's looking for is, are you peaceful, joyful, or happy? Are you this? Or are you worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative? What are you anticipating? Do you want heaven or do you want hell? Jesus keeps on asking us this. And again, you have to discipline yourself. Like we said with Opus Sanctorum, it says to the angels, we say the angels to our angels, beat me as you would a stubborn mule. Don't let me lose heaven. If I'm going the wrong way, beat me as you would a stubborn mule. Bring me back. So this discipline is important. This is essential that we begin to understand. This is not flippant. This is everything God wants to give us. He wants to give us the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. 5:35-8:19-37. Indeed, with my celestial mother, because she lived in and possessed the life of my divine fiat, and we, Jesus and Mary, loved each other with one single love. Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. We love souls with a twin love, and our love for her is so great that just as we have our hierarchy of angels in heaven, as well as the diversity of orders of the saints, since the celestial empress is the heiress of the great divine inheritance of our divine will, when this kingdom is formed upon earth, listen to what God's going to offer to us. The great lady shall call her own children to possess her divine inheritance, and then we, triune God, shall give her the great glory of having her formed a new hierarchy that shall be similar to the nine choirs of angels. So she shall have a choir of seraphim and cherubim and so forth, as well as the new order of saints who have lived within her divine inheritance. After she has formed them on earth, she shall take them to heaven, surrounding herself with this new hierarchy generated anew in the divine fiat, in her same love, having lived in her divine inheritance. This shall be the fulfillment of the work of creation, our consummatum est. It is finished. Now, when Jesus said that, the way he said it is, I've paid the bill. It is finished. It's Our Lady saying the same thing. It's going to be finished. Exactly what the Father wanted from the beginning with us, his children. Because we shall have a kingdom of our divine will in humanity by virtue of the celestial heiress who wanted to give her life for each of us in order to let the divine will reign. Oh, how glorified and happy we shall be, because the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Sovereign Queen, shall have her own hierarchy, just as we, Triune God, do, even more so, since our own hierarchy shall be hers too, and hers shall be ours, because all that is done in our most holy divine will is inseparable. God's offering this to us. He's offering this to us. Nobody is in line yet for this. Nobody. So Jesus is saying, how much would you like to be part of Our Lady's hierarchy? That's what he's offering to us. And again, we've always heard, always work for the highest, work for love. What we're going to work for is, see, the divine will is love. It's an ocean of love that God wants us to dive into and be dissolved in this infinite ocean of love. Where that drop of water that's put into the chalice filled with wine, that drop of water becomes wine. We're going to share in the divinity of Christ. Don't limit God by saying, oh, it's not going to happen to me. Because as soon as you say that, it can't happen to you. You've already said no to God. Our Lady was always fiat. Her Lady, she said fiat from the moment she was conceived, all through her life. When Joseph said to Our Lady, we got to go to Egypt, she didn't go, hey, we got a house in Nazareth. She said, fiat. I mean, really, it's docility. surrender, submission, these are words that are hated today. Surrender to who? The Lord God Almighty. Let him take care of everything. There's nothing to worry about. Again, this is a great time to live. The greatest time to live. God saved the best for last. The love of the celestial queen and mother is insuperable, insurmountable. Only in heaven shall humanity know how much Our Lady loved them and what Our Lady has done for them. Her most exuberant, magnanimous, and greatest act is waiting for them to possess the kingdom of my divine will as she possessed it. Oh, what would this celestial lady not do to obtain her intent? And then Jesus says, you too unite with Our Lady and pray for a purpose that is so holy. If this is not just reading a book, that our Lord is asking us to enter into the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, to be one with Our Lady in the image and likeness of Jesus, the image and likeness of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. There's no limit to this. Volume 35, 10, 31, 19, 37. Our divine love imposes itself on us in order to make us give what we are and also to honor ourselves for the honor of operating our divine will. Our love reaches such pretexts and yearnings of love that it would never want us to stop giving, placing before us our divine immensity that never ends, our divine power that can give anything, our divine wisdom that can dispose anything. These are the divine acts that can form the passport for all other souls. You love your family. You want the best for your family. Listen to what he says. Our divine immensity is yours that never ends. Our divine power is yours that can give anything. Our divine wisdom can dispose anything. These are acts that are divine acts, and they can form a passport for your family and all of humanity, past, present, and future. Do you love your family? Do you want the best for your family? Jesus is offering this to them through you. But you have to live it first. No more negativity. No more misery. No more complaining. No more negativity. We have to get rid of this. You're feeding these demons that are making you miserable. Starve them during this Lent. Starve them. Drive them out. See, we don't want to see at the end of our life the demons we fed all of our life, and the ones that we were supposed to feed, Jesus and Mary, starving. We don't want to see that. That's going to happen to a lot of people. How did you live your life? I was worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative. Well, this is your family. This is what you lived for on earth. No, we've got to discipline ourselves. We got to say enough, enough, and really begin to listen to Jesus and follow what he's asking us to do. I mean, he said to Louisa, if you have the book of heaven, I myself gave that to you. I don't care who gave it to you. Jesus gave this to you. He knew that you would be reading this book. He predestined you to have this book. This is the gift of gifts. This is the prodigy of prodigies. So listen to what he says. These acts are divine acts, and they can form the passport for other souls to let them enter into the kingdom of our divine will. They shall give a child to our kingdom. Do you want to give your family to the kingdom? So that more acts are done in it, that your child begins to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the more populated it shall become, and all the good shall overflow upon those who had been the first to give life to my divine will in their acts. That's where we are. We're the first. Since Louisa died, we are the first. Little by little, this is going through all the world. And there's some people that don't want this. But there's, Jesus said, it's going to happen. Again, this is the most glorious time to be alive. It is the most glorious time to be alive. And all that God is asking of us is to begin to say, fiat. Yes, Lord, I want this. Spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. Look at Jesus in the monstrance, not to read a book, but to fall in love with him. Look at him. He's looking at you. He's hiding him. He's hiding his divinity. And St. Teresa says this is the only time where we can freely love God, because once we get to heaven and see him, we're going to fall on our faces to adore him. He's so beautiful, so holy, so perfect, so loving. Again, what our Lord is asking is, come to me, Jesus says. All you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. He's there to console us in the Eucharist. He knows what we're going through, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. He knows that there's a lot of people in your family that are very, very sick. Those that have already died and those that are going to die. He knows this. And he says, I will help you. I will console you. Go to Jesus. Make that commitment, maybe during Lent, to spend an hour each day with Jesus in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the monstrance. If your church doesn't have it, you can find it on the internet. Find perpetual adoration on the internet. Spend an hour with Jesus every day. Be alone with him, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him, and blessing him and worshiping him. Fall in love with Jesus. He's fallen in love with you. He died shedding every drop of blood for you and for me. He gave up everything for us. He doesn't want to lose us. So he's coming to us and he's saying, as much as we want or as little as we want, how much do you want this? What is it that you want? I have to give it to you. That's why Jesus said to Louisa, I have to release all the demons. Louisa said, you don't have to do this. You're the Son of God. You don't have to do this. And he says, Louisa, you don't understand. Humanity wants the release of the demons. They want them. I have to give them to them. That's the fastest growing religion, is Satanism. Let's just think of all the blood sacrifices for over the years. Every war was a blood sacrifice to Lucifer. All those young men and women who died bleeding to death on the battlefield, a blood sacrifice to Lucifer. The abortions, blood sacrifice to Lucifer. Euthanasia in the hospitals, blood sacrifice to Lucifer. Why isn't there going to be any wars in the new era? The devil's going. God is getting us ready for heaven on earth. And that's when they're going to turn their rifles and swords into plowing equipment. God is coming. The kingdom is coming. We are living at a pivotal time in the history of mankind. It's the 7,000th year. Scripture says, the evening of the first day, the morning of the second day, the evening of the second day, the morning of the third day. There's no morning or evening of the seventh day because we're in it now. Now we're in it. The kingdom is coming. We have to get ready. I mean, there's going to be no excuse for anybody. God is offering this to us, and he's pleading with us. You discipline yourself. See, as soon as you pray for the grace, you have it. I know some people that have a difficult time washing dishes. And you pray for the grace to wash the dishes, you can wash the dishes right then. As soon as you pray for it, you got it. Go to the sink and start washing dishes. Oh, you have the grace as soon as you ask for it. Well, I didn't experience anything, so God didn't give me the grace. Go wash the dishes. You know? See, we make too many excuses. Jesus loves us so much. As he says, I've got a high place for you in heaven. I want you to be near my mother. I want you to be near me, Jesus says. I want you to be one with the Father, filled with the Holy Spirit. See, this is a great time to be alive. It's the best time to be alive. So we'll end there, and we'll be back tomorrow morning for the last chapter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.